This is Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. That's why Macy's is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
Being there matters, and your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America. When piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief, your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters, and America's Navy is already there.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I'm sure they may be pleased right now, but when they see how bad this thing gets, based on all the projections we're being told by the plans that are participating in Obamacare, I don't think they're going to like that either.
Yeah, Paul Ryan, not thrilled today. Kind of handed his head, I think, in a lot of ways. How you doing? Happy Friday, everybody. Jim Kennedy from the Public Policy Research Center is here. Jim?
Chad?
This was a giant up.
Yeah, pretty much. Republicans shot themselves in the foot. You were talking about earlier about them being defeated. Well, they didn't have an opponent. They couldn't even get themselves to come up with a bill of which they could build a consensus around and present to the Congress to vote on. So they didn't, they weren't defeated. They didn't have an opponent. They just screwed up on a massive scale here.
I don't think screw up. First of all, now, I'm saying this, that I believe there are people inside of the Republican Party who don't want Obamacare to go anywhere because their state, their constituents have benefited from it. They know that this will probably hurt them. And it's all about self-preservation. It's all about getting reelected. You want to be there. You don't care if the person next to you is, because we are inherently a selfish folk.
Well, there might be a couple of congressmen out there that are in close districts that have a demographic that would certainly be hurt by this. But I'd like to believe in a more altruistic type of congressperson out there, that they're really trying to work for the betterment of America. And the betterment of America.
I love you, Jim. You're so crazy.
The betterment of the voters, and that they're really trying to find a solution, because Obamacare is a disaster. We can't afford it. It's blowing a hole in the deficit. You got people out there, like I said, that are paying $150 a month. They make $37,000 a year for subsidized coverage that gets them an $11,000 deductible that doesn't provide them health care. It just provides them a nice source of revenue to the government for subsidized health care, and that's about it. And it's not going to last. You've talked about the number of states, the problems, the premiums. It's coming apart, and it keeps costing us more money each day. We've got to find a problem. We've got to find a solution, because we're just blowing a hole in the deficit, or in the debt, or in the deficit and the debt.
It's about politics, and I've said this over and over again. It's about premiums. I think the average person, they look at a deductible and they think, well, you know what? Even if my deductible is $2,500, I'm probably not going to hit it because I'm not going to get sick, and maybe my kid may get sick, or my kid, we may as a family get close to, but probably not, because we're only going to go to the doctors a couple times a year, knock on wood. So even at a lower deductible, but it's the premiums, because people need to be able to pay for stuff up front, and $1,000 premium for four people, and you make $6,000 a month after taxes, you're taking home four, you got a house payment, you got kids, you got the whole nine yards. That's ridiculous.
No, it is, because nothing that Obamacare does, nothing that was in this bill addresses the cost of health care. They've only addressed the cost of health insurance. And health care itself is rocketing out of control price-wise, and we need to look at more ways to bring some market solutions into it. We can't have a pure free market solution, because that simply doesn't work in an item where you're going to have people who die if they're not allowed into the market because of cost issues. So we need to do something that's somewhat of a market and a free market solution. But until we address the real problem of health care, meaning competitive marketplaces, insurance across state lines, priceless for procedures, things like that that I've looked at and put out in papers, we're not going to make this problem any better.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. He joins us every Friday in studio, and we're talking about today's debacle, I think is the best way to describe it. And then today wasn't the debacle. The debacle was the run-up to it. The debacle was the fact that they had talked about this ad nauseum, that there's 5,000 plans out there, that they couldn't come up with a consensus plan to put forth. You look forward, you're Trump, you know, again, Trump has kind of distanced himself and said, you know what, it is what it is. I'm moving on to something else. You guys need to deal with it. Paul Ryan standing there, he looked defeated today. You're Paul Ryan, you're the Republicans. What do you do from here?
Go home and have a very stiff drink. And think about tomorrow morning about where I failed and what I'm going to do to make this better. I agree with Trump stepping away from. Remember, Trump's only been involved in this in a sense from, you know, at most 18 months and at the least 2 months, because he's only been president for 2 months. The Republican Party, 7 years and one day ago, knew that this day was going to come. This is like sitting there and knowing that your doctoral thesis is going to be due in 6 years. And they have done nothing until 3 weeks before the thesis was due to start work on it. There should have been committees and people and panels and all sorts of things where they basically came up with the best and the brightest ideas. You know, heck, get NASA involved, you know, whatever. If you're looking for the best and the brightest, it's a joke, folks. But they've done nothing over those 6-7 years to prepare for this day. And it's common. They just looked like they were just clueless and unprepared, and they were clueless and unprepared.
I think you're being kind to them. Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. So you're moving forward. Last hour we talked to Grace Marie Turner from the Galen Institute, and you know she says she foresees that there's the opportunity sooner rather than later to get this thing done. I look at this and think I think the Republicans' smartest thing they can do is make sure the blame for the mess, not this mess that happened, because they got to take that blame. They got to own that. But the mess that they're in, as far and all of us are in because of Obamacare, lands on the shoulders of Pelosi and Schumer and everybody else that was there back then. And you know what, man? I think at some point in time, they're going to let this thing falter to the point where it crashes, because politically, I think they feel like we're never going to get this done because we're never going to get a consensus, not even close to a consensus. So let's let it crash so at least we can look like heroes, as opposed to potentially taking us out of everything for the next 8 years like it has the Democrats.
Well, there'll probably be some consensus at some point with this thing gets farther down the road and as bad as it's going to get. So really, if Paul Ryan wants to do something constructive, he figures out tomorrow, they get together and they try to find some small wins. Now, of course, you could always have Donald Trump go out there and tweet something ridiculous tomorrow morning and shift the entire media cycle away from the health care. And if Paul Ryan had any sort of luck in his life, you know, Donald Trump would start ranting about the price of oranges or something silly like that.
Do you think he's saving naked pictures of Ivanka that he's going to just shoot out there off his Twitter?
Oh,
and be like, yes! Don't care about health care! Take that, Jared Kushner, for leaving us in the time of need.
But I think no, that could very well be. I'm sure Trump is a marketer. That's what he's always been. That's why I never was a supporter of Trump, because I knew that everything that Trump does is about marketing Trump. So I would not be surprised to see some sort of crazy tweets coming out tomorrow morning. It's Saturday morning. You know he likes to get up early with that Twitter machine and go crazy on it. So who knows? We could have an entirely different news cycle 24 hours from now on what we'll be talking about because of Trump crazy tweets.
Oh, we have so much still to get to. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is joining us here. One quick question before we go to the break. That Jared Kushner thing, man, he's upset because Kush bounced on him, went to hang out. And this guy's supposed to be like your seniorish advisor, and he's hanging out with his family. And again, this is your son-in-law, but he was really kind of perturbed about this.
Yeah, unless there's some sort of a health problem that hasn't been announced or something. I don't quite understand that, why at this point he would choose, as you said, to bounce, you know, and not be there for this type of thing. I don't know if it's he doesn't have the ability to work the relationships on the Hill, deferred to Ryan and the whips and all of that within the GOP or what. But there's certainly a very interesting process story behind all that to find out what happened.
I'm telling you, I think it's because he realized this thing's not going anywhere. That me staying here is not going to change anything, so I'm going to bounce. Jim Kennedy's here from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. He and I are talking about everything politically that's taking place in D.C. and how this is going to affect us. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the program as well, 323-538-2423. More from Jim and I straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
You want to talk with Jack's dad? Ring us now. 844-DIG-CHAD. That's 844-344-2423.
This bill went down today. It went down today because the majority of the representatives of the American people in the House of Representatives thought this was a bad bill.
Steny Hoyer there. Sounds like a quarterback in the SEC. Who do you think's going to win? Well, Steny Hoyer's really doing really well here. He's playing some good football. Doesn't turn the ball over. I think if we do that, sounds like a coach or something, right? I think we'll be all right. Thanks a lot, Steny. Appreciate that. No, actually, that is not what he does for a living. Instead, he says stuff like, that's a bad bill. Chad Benson Show, thanks so much for making us part of your day. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here with us. All right, so going forward now, you're Trump. You looked at this, you threw it out there, you did everything you possibly could last night. Where do you maneuver from here? Where do you pivot to?
Tax bills could be one thing. Their immigration bill is still out there. They still need to put together a bill for the wall if they're going to truly build that. And again, the immigration is a possibility along with some taxes. There's also probably some small wins in some government reform areas, decreasing regulations that you can't simply do through through the cabinet heads. I would think that's where they would want to look right now. Get some simple, easy wins in place. Kind of build on some momentum here.
You know, like in sports, as a kid growing up playing sports and playing at a high level, sometimes you schedule games where you know you're going to win because it becomes an attitude and you want to start building that up. They took the biggest bite they possibly could early into it, and it failed. And it's like, again, I don't think this hurts Trump because this wasn't the major thing Trump talked about ad nauseum. It's the wall. It's jobs. This was part of it. But comparatively to how it hurts Republicans, I think it hurts Republicans more.
Well, I think the thing is, Mayor, this is much larger than Trump. This has been around for 7 years and a day. So it wasn't just something that Trump had been looking for.
I didn't even get it a birthday present, too.
Chad, shame on you. I didn't get it a card either. But, you know, what do you get the most costly program in American history that requires you to buy something to live in America? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Certainly not freedom. But this has been the raison d'etre of the GOP for the last 6 years, 7 years, is to get rid of this. So the GOP failed as much as Trump failed. So I don't think he takes a lot of hit for it politically. He'll take some, but he's Trump. He'll change the agenda within 24 hours and move us on to another topic, and we'll be moving forward. And like I said, by Monday, we'll be screaming about something else. Don't forget, we got the Supreme Court vote coming up in about 10 days, so that'll certainly change the narrative too.
Speaking of the Supreme Court, as we talked to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, Gorsuch, I thought, acquitted himself pretty damn good. I think everybody knows it's just a show to sit there and argue and say we may filibuster, we may do this, knowing full well that you're not going to because it doesn't really change or alter the big things that the people worry about. It's the next judge, potentially, that could. So you want to hold that filibuster till a little bit later, am I correct?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, we were talking about the Republicans' inability to pass the bill. It would almost seem inevitable that they weren't going to get this done. Well, it's inevitable that he will get through. There's not much the Democrats can do with the procedures in the Senate, if the Republicans invoke the nuclear option and go forward with it, if they have to. I would think with enough senators out there that are up for re-election in states that Trump won in last year, that are seeing the political tides change in their state, that might at the last minute jump on board and they might be able to get 60 votes out of it. If not, then a nuclear option certainly is out there, but he will get through.
The nuclear option. That's, I know, really crazy. Pipeline goes in, or at least they, you know, today it got approved, and I don't know how many billions of dollars, and it's really only going to create a few jobs. You know, as I was trying to explain to somebody, it's going to create a lot of temporary jobs, but not a lot of permanent jobs. Well, construction industry is nothing but temporary. Only the Winchester Mystery Mansion did you build a career off of in the construction industry.
Well, I don't know. There's the second Avenue route, or the number two route in New York City, subway line that's been in process like almost 100 years from start to finish of it, because they're constantly extending it, changing it, modifying it, and also some very large water projects in New York. But outside of that, yeah, you're correct. Everything is just kind of, you move from one construction to another. I mean, even the Big Dig back in Boston had an end point at some point, even though you would think that it would have lasted forever almost.
So, economy, I would say, look, I keep stressing this with Trump. You know, this week we heard from a lot of people around the country who said, man, when is he going to get on the economy? Because that's what people really, I mean, if he does 3.5% to 4% GDP, he's sitting fine. He'll be reelected in a landslide because people are like, oh, I'll take that. Even if they're, you know, for all the rest of the stuff, we still vote with our pocketbook by and large, minus a few people who vote on a specific issue. We all participate in the economy. Taxes and reform have to be the next thing he takes on, because people are starting to wonder here. Again, we're looking around here, and you seem to be doing more arguing and weird conspiracy theory than anything else.
Well, correct. Remember, first of all, you know, healthcare is economics. It's 1/6 of the economy. But since that's kind of been put on the side for right now, you look at regulation. Because remember, a president doesn't create jobs. He gets the government out of the way of the people who do create jobs. And that's what he needs to do, and that's what Trump needs to do. So we need to put some legislation out there to reduce some regulation. Nothing that's crazy where we're going to be setting the, you know, Cuyahoga River on fire like they did 40 years ago. But something that gets the government out of the way, that allows small businesses to create the jobs. Because almost every net job in America comes out of a small business. The Fortune 500 as a whole generally are not a net producer of jobs. It's small business is what we need to grow, and that's where they need to focus.
Well, we'll see if they focus on that. We got about a minute here. Didn't talk a lot about it. I still think it's something that it is what it is, and it doesn't affect the day-to-day life. But this, you know, the whole wiretapping thing is still sitting out there, and the whole Russia thing is still sitting out there.
No, it is, and maybe next week we'll get some more information from both sides. There's a rumor that there's some sort of an NSA information that's going to be coming out that's going to vindicate Trump, but who knows, because all of that is, you know, is just
Sean Hannity go and dress up like somebody from the NSA and then hide something. And say, no, we got it.
No, he was doing his Tom Cruise imitation where he kind of, you know, comes down on the, you know, on the, spends himself down in the middle of the super secret locker room or something.
I think he and Trump are the same person. His name's Jim Kennedy. He's from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. You can check him out at Righty Jim. Tweet at him. Tweet right at his face. He loves it when you do that. At Righty Jim. The Chad Benson Show Facebook. At Chad Benson Show Twitter. ChadBenson. Jim rightly picked Xavier last night to beat Arizona. Actually, he didn't, but he did pick against Arizona. He told me last week, don't do it. But I listened to my heart, even though I don't really care that much about the Wildcats. And it said Arizona's the team to beat, and they have let me down. So, good God. Come on, UCLA. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Today is a great day for our country. It's a victory. What happened on the floor is a victory for the American people.
No, it's not. You own it, though. Enjoy it. I love that. You own it. Enjoy. Sad and party, people. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter. C-H-A-D-P-E-N-S-O-N. Again, faltering build that didn't really go the way they thought it was going to go. We move on with our lives. Now it's time to focus on other things because we got the weekend here. I have a question out there. People have been chiming in, and I'd like you to chime in. 844-344-CHAD, 844-344-2423. About cell phones, kids. Kids' cell phones. What's a good age for a kid to get a cell phone? What is a good age for the kids to get cell phones? I find we did not have this problem when we were kids. Somebody called in earlier and goes, you remember beepers? Oh, my God. Do I remember beepers? Yeah, pagers, beepers, whatever you want to call them. So the first one was a beeper, right? If I'm right. So the thing would beep you, and you had to call a service. And then they would tell you who called. Then it was the pager. And you had to call. Then you would see who's actually calling you. Now kids want cell phones younger and younger. Jack hasn't asked for one because he's got all of the accoutrements of the electronic world that he needs. Right? He wouldn't even know what to do with it, although he's getting better. Like, if we lose connection, he calls me back. He doesn't have to have his mom do it and stuff, but he's only 6 and a half. What's a good age? And I've been saying it's this, you know, this like, you know, depending on the kid, you know, sixth grade, that middle school area is the perfect time. Maybe a little bit older. Don't give him a smartphone, at least one that's not super smart. At least one that's not super smart because you don't want that, you know, you don't want them searching around on the internet. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. I see North Carolina is handling Butler. Whew. I am so excited about my bracket. My bracket is sitting at 14,000 out of 13,300,000. Like, that's pretty good. Like, you're sitting there at that 14,000. If I get into the five, I can't win it now because Arizona jacked the pooch. Like, if Arizona would have won it and I would have stayed steady here, I don't think I'd have won it, but I definitely had a chance, I think, at top, 5,000. Like, you're doing well, right? You're doing well. Somebody got, Warren Buffett offered up, was it $1 million for life if anybody could predict all the games? And then he offered, last year, I think he offered $1 billion to the public if anybody could predict. And this year, he's offering a ton of money. Somebody has won 100 grand. Virginia Factor were 100,000 for correctly picking the first 29 games of the basketball tournament. He also picked the winners of the 31st and 32nd games correctly. So if he had picked South Carolina to win, he would have won $1 million. Not for life, but just $1 million. Is that the kind of money that is on the line at your place there, Producer Phil? Do you got $1 million on the line there?
Not even close.
That'd be so awesome. Man, that's taking care of your people. That is 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, Chad at Chad Benson Show. .com. You can text the program as well. A lot of people saying for girls, I think it's younger to get a cell phone because I think they're mature. I mean, let's be real. They're far more mature than guys. Even now we're immature, in our 40s, we're immature. It's funny. I was speaking of in your 40s. There is a new study out where millennials do not believe that they are adults. Depending on which millennial you ask, until they're in their 30s. And many of them don't believe they're fully an adult until they're 40 years old. So they're holding on to that kid zone as long as that youth. I think it's 23. You're still a young adult, but I think you've, 23, 24, 25, depending if you're still in college. I think if you're still in college and you go straight through, But, you know, 18 obviously is the technical area as an adult. But I'm thinking if you get to 26, you're an adult. 25, you're an adult. That's just me. I don't know. I mean, that's what I feel. But I don't. I tell you what. I mean, like, here's a perfect example. When did you think you were a man, Phil? Like, when did you think, I'm a dude, I'm an adult now, this is my responsibility?
Between 18 and 21.
Yeah. Yeah. See, like, I moved out so young to go to Europe and play soccer that it was like you were automatically an adult. You know, I'm living away from home. I've got my own life to live. My friends are still in school, but I'm full-time training to play soccer and do all these kind of things. So I kind of felt like I was an adult a little bit younger. And, you know, you look back at the Greatest Generation and these kind of things. And even now, I mean, the other night, because out here where I live, we have 29 Palms up here. So we have the Marine base and they come down and stuff. And we were out and I saw some of them. And they're so young, like 18, 19 years old. I mean, it's so young. Like, looking back, I'm like, man, you know, that's not an adult. You're still a kid. You're doing adult things, though. I mean, you are doing adult things, but you're still a kid in a lot of ways. Another texter writes in and said it should be 12. 12 seems to be a number that people like. I think middle school. Middle school is the area that I think that you get to middle school, you should be able to have a phone. Because you want to know, and again, we would have had it as a kid. I would have had it as a kid. My mother had a chance. She would have given it to us. Of course she would have. Of course she would have. Absolutely. 110%. 110%. Producer Phil sent me this yesterday, and I saw this, and I didn't know how to take this. I scratched my head. It was very bizarre that they're going to try to pass a bill that limits discipline for young Maryland students, and it's already passed the Senate. 32-15, it's a veto-proof majority. And what it would do is it would effectively prohibit the practice of suspending or expelling public school students in pre-K through second grade with a handful of exceptions. Like, first of all, what's a handful? What are you doing in kindergarten that you're going to get suspended for? First grade or second grade? Now, we look and we see the world that we live in and everything is, you know, micromanaged and you've got parents over the top of you and of course you got students over the top of you and everybody in the world is like, if you touch somebody, that's a sexual assault or an offense. So you have to base it on that. But then I started thinking to myself, what are the exceptions that a kindergarten may get kicked out of school? I guess in certain areas, potentially bringing a handgun, you find your brother or your dad's handgun or your mom's handgun and you bring it to school. I think that may be it. But I couldn't even imagine what else would be like, what do you think a kindergartner could do? I'm trying to think. I literally am. I mean, you know, remember, you know, you point your finger now as like a gun like thing, you get suspended. Like, oh, wow, you got to go. You're done. So, yeah, that's stupid. You shouldn't be suspended for that. Those kind of things. But I'm just trying to figure out what in God's name could you be suspended for? And they're talking about bullying and stuff. But you know what? This is me with the bullying thing. First of all, I think we go overboard with it. And granted, we didn't live in a time and in an era where bullying happened 24/7. It happened at school and then you were done. You moved on with your life. You know, hey, it's 3 o'clock. You can't bully me anymore. I got stuff to do. It's the weekend. Now it's totally different. But there, it's also, you know, you're learning how to live your life, right? You're learning how to deal with adversity. You're learning how to deal with trials and errors in life. And you need to let kids, you know, do that. Now, if your kid is so fragile they may commit suicide, obviously you step in and you have a bigger, you know, you have a bigger issue there. But I look at bullying and I think, you know, look, without bullying, how would we know what kids are fat? Chad, you're such a jerk. I'm just giving you constructive criticism. Without bullying, how would I know that's a bad outfit? Right? I mean, is that kind of bullying? I mean, now we call it people watching now. Like, that's what I call it. I call it people watching. We people watch. We pretend it's not bullying. Oh, it's not bullying. I'm not saying it to their face. Yeah, but in your mind, you're criticizing somebody's outfit. In your mind, you're criticizing somebody's shoe or hair. We all do it, so don't lie and say, "I don't do that." You totally do that. But we have gone overboard on bullying. You need to, I mean, that's part and parcel with growing up. And when you take that away, there's a great article I read the other day that allowing things like that to happen, letting kids have free play and do those kind of things and figure out how to get by certain situations and overcome adversity is important for a democracy. Because when you start to take away those learning moments, what you're doing is you're setting kids up for failure in the future, and you need to have those kind of moments. Again, there's times it goes too far. Absolutely. But we have gone too far the other way, and anytime, "Jimmy, your shoes look silly." "Oh, that's bullying. Jimmy may kill himself." What? Jimmy needs a lot more help then. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat@ChadBensonShow.com. What's a good age for a kid to get a cell phone? 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. My mother spoke to her the other day, and she said, "You know, something weird happened. Just this dude came to the house." I said, "What?" "This guy came to the house knocking on the door looking for somebody." And they said, "Oh, yeah, they used to live here." Well, first of all, my family's lived there for like 25 years, and the guy was totally sketchy. So she got a little like worried. She called the cops. And I said, "You know what, Mom?" I said, "You need to do something smart." So I said, let's get you a Simply Safe. I said, "It's great." I said, "It's easy." I said, "You can put it up." And I said, you're not as bad as me, but, you know, as far as, you know, I mean, yeah, she's far worse than me in electronics, but she'll get on this thing. She'll get on the YouTube if she has to and figure this out. And I said, "Mom, Simply Safe is easy. It's the easiest thing you've ever done. I can do it. Anybody can do it." But I said, "It's great because you got all those kids. And what the best way to protect your home is with a Simply Safe home security system." First and foremost, she's like, "Well, what about contracts?" I said, "No contracts. Zero, zilch, nada." I said, "You get amazing protection. 24/7. And I said, "It's award-winning." I said, "They can send the police in a moment if they see anything." And I said, "It only costs like $14.99 a month. That's less than 50 cents a day." I said, "Mom, we have all the kids." I said, "People are coming in and out of the house." I said, "It would be, it's perfect for that." She goes, "You're absolutely right." So why don't you do the same thing? If you're looking for something right now, and I think a lot of people are out there, we're hearing about how many times we've heard about, you know, burglary in the neighborhood, this, that, and the other. It's simple and it's easy, an amazing camera. You could set it up yourself. Visit simplysafe.com/Benson. Check out their new high-definition camera. Plus, you can get 10% off any order. But that's only at simplysafe.com/Benson. Go there now, simplysafe.com/Benson. Save today. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, @ChadBensonShow, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. Wrap it up straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
America's funniest cisgendered privileged white male with a bully pulpit the size of a divided nation. Here's Chad Benson.
Cisgendered. Phil, are you cisgendered too? Are we cisgendered? Is that where we are?
Cisgendered and mother approved.
You know what's funny? I saw somebody the other day said they were gender fluid. I'm like, I don't even know what that is. If I have to look up what you are, I'm sorry. Gender fluid. You're not a chameleon. You don't get to change like in moments, like, right? Like, you're not one of the, what is it, the X-Men? What's her name? The one that turns different, the blue one that changes colors, changes who, it can be whoever they want. That's gender fluid. Right? Right? You deciding today I'm going to wear a baseball cap and, you know, and a cup does not make you a man. Chad, you've totally offended people. No, it's just silly. If I have to look it up, right? If I have to look something up, and I think most of you feel the same way. Look, the truth is, and like Dave Chappelle, right? He's in trouble, the LGBT community and everybody, because they've decided with his new special on Netflix that 5 years ago he was funny, but now he's just rude. Screw you. Get over yourselves. Comedy is supposed to test the limits. It is supposed to test the limits. I'm all about each being their own. No problems with that. But if I got to look stuff up because you want to have a new classification for something, I just find it to be completely just, whatever. I mean, come on. Realistically. They're all mad at him. I was sitting there going, really? People are pissed at you? They're mad at you because of this? They're mad at you because you were funny and now things have changed? Somehow you're no longer funny? Well, you are, but only to certain people because now those people that once laughed at you are uppity and tight. Have you offended somebody? Hell yeah, you're supposed to offend somebody. That's the name of the game in comedy. But now you don't even have to try. And the difference is what you used to go, oh my God, that was so horrible. I can't believe I laughed at that. Now it's like, oh my God, that's so horrible. I need to go tell everybody how horrible that is and how much you actually hate the person or the group or whatever that you're offended about. It is true. You don't even have to try. You used to have to go, okay, I'm going to put a line out there. I want to see how far I can go in this line. Sometimes it's to test yourself to say, do I have a line? Other times it's like, you know what? I'm going to push the boundaries a little bit, right? I'm going to push the Lenny Bruce, push the boundaries. Richard Pryor, push the boundaries. Eddie Murphy, push the boundaries. Chris Rock, push the boundaries. Daniel Tosh, push the boundaries. Jelinek, push the boundaries. Push the boundaries. That's what you do. That's what great comics do. Chappelle, push the boundaries. The problem is there's no more boundaries, right? Because everything is an offense. One day, there are going to be people out there who can't wait to have a joke that sounds like this. A nondescript individual of no particular color and or sexual origin walks into a place that may or may not serve adult beverages. End of joke. You're supposed to push those boundaries, right? That's what you're supposed to do. And it's the craziest thing because it's you don't know where those boundaries are now because they move. Remember, 6 months ago, you said something funny. Today, that's no longer funny. It's offensive. 2 years ago, you tweeted something, you got 50,000 likes, people loved it, thought it was hilarious, somebody's gone back and looked at it, now has decided that you're a racist, or you're homophobic, or you're transphobic, or whatever. Sad. Sad, sad, sad. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonShow.com, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Taking off a few days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, relax next week. Jack and I have got big plans that include the Power Rangers, probably lots of Nerf gun fights with his little cousins, my little brother, and, of course, probably a visit to, yes, Knott's Berry Farm to go see the Wild West Show. It's going to be a party like no other. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBensonSon, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Have yourself a safe and wonderful next few days. For Phil, for vacationing already. Anthony, my name's Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.